Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
To another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we are talking Jessica Jones. We're back in the gritty Netflix underbelly of the Marvel Universe, sort of, but now it's coming back. I don't know, it's all very confusing, but we're on our watch through of Jessica Jones. We're on episode 4, aka 99 Friends, and let's get into it with a little bit of first thoughts on this episode. I'll let someone else go first for my maybe controversial first thoughts.
I mean, at this stage of the show, it kind of feels like we're living in Kilgrave's world, right? It's kind of just more along this, like, you know, who does he really have control of, and like, how are we going to figure out how to stop this? Like, you know, he kind of realized the scope of his power and who all he's controlling and what he's getting them to do. And that's kind of like the vibe that I've had in this one.
Okay. How about you, Elisa?
I did enjoy this episode. It was not my favorite one so far. I think that part of the problem with me in this series is that my brain is now wired for the 6 or 9 episode seasons. And so I keep looking to see how far we are. And it's like, dang it, there are 13 hour long episodes. And so whenever we're getting these things that feel like filler, like my brain is now rejecting it. Like, no, we need to get on. When are we going to get Kilgrave? And so there was literally nothing to me wrong with this episode, but I don't like that we are ever so far from the season finale. 13 episodes.
Yes. Yes, I agree. That's part of my complaint for this episode as well. And then slowly I remembered why it was like an ultimate complaint for this series for me. I feel like we get so much backstory, but real slow. It's not like a quick flashback that explains something. It's like, no, we're going to have the entire episode essentially be a flashback to explain one tiny piece of the overall story that could have been a 5-minute flashback scene. But instead, they're going to drag it out and tell us a whole story that in the end really only explains one thing. My maybe controversial take on this episode is enough of Malcolm. Like, I get that his character drives plot. I get that his character is there for a reason that will be shown more as the series goes on. But it just seems like they couldn't think of a way to make Kilgrave have anything, any sort of power that other than Trish that like may affect Jessica. So they just gave us Malcolm, who's just like always there, and Jessica kind of feels bad for him. And then he becomes like a plot point in Kilgrave's plan. And you're just like, ugh, okay. It just seems very convenient and easy.
Yeah, a little bit of the lazy way out.
Yes,
almost.
Yes, yeah. I, yeah. I The cool thing about, well, not cool, the scary thing about Kilgrave is that he can basically like convince anybody, right? Anybody mm-hmm. on the street. And we see that in this episode. We see it in the next episode. There's lots of like moments where like a little kid comes up or like a stranger on the street says something to Jessica and you're like, that's scary that like you don't know who
yeah.
could be mind controlled. That's what's cool. Not like, yeah. hey, here's this person that like, of course they're going to be mind controlled because they're like, they live next door to you. I don't know.
Yeah, you kind of, 4 episodes in, there's enough going on where it's just kind of like, from Jessica's perspective, it's literally like, how could she even run a business, right? Mm-hmm. You can't trust anyone. Anyone right. that approaches, you would think instantly it's like, it's got to be Kilgrave. Like, what do I do on my end to try to test that or prove that they're not in that kind of control?
Right. And I think that, like, there are some cool moments in this episode. I think, you know, we get some references to the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's very shoehorned in, right? Like, it seems very forced, and they refuse to say anyone's names.
It's like, things like that, I wish there was a little bit more friendliness. Like, if you're gonna mention it, like, let's give it justice. You know, we're all exactly. in the same universe. Like, you can mention...
Which, yeah. like, I really hope that we get to a point where we do get to do a watch-through of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's the same in that, except in that it happens in the first couple episodes, and then they don't talk about it for, like, 2 or 3 seasons, and then it starts to happen a little bit again, and then they're like, never mind, and they never mention it again. And it's just like, why would you put all this time and effort into these shows? And especially with these, like, these look good. Like,
right.
if you crushed all this together and maybe cut out some of the fluff, you would have a feature film
mm-hmm.
on each of these characters and then the Defenders. Like, mm-hmm. that would be cool. So they put all this time and effort into it, and then to just kind of be like, nah, I don't know. I don't think that we want to actually make it canon. So just don't ever actually say anyone's name. We don't want this tied to it.
They also keep calling it the incident, which I was like, is this before we decided it was the Battle of New York? Because they're just like, how we didn't really know what to call the snap before they started calling it the blip.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The incident. And that's another one that seems like, you know, when Marvel couldn't say mutants.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So they were just like, oh, let's figure out a workaround.
It feels really like Victorian. Like, it's a bad thing yeah. that they're not allowed to directly reference, so it's the incident.
Mm-hmm.
We also get to see in this episode someone who has been like, I know that we kind of get this with Jessica, but this is the first time that we're seeing like a non-powered, non-main character person dealing with the fallout of being controlled by Kilgrave. So we see the cop who was under Kilgrave's control and almost kills Trish, like dealing with the fact that like he remembers that and trying to like prove to Trish that he's sorry and that he wants her to be protected and that he believes her and he believes Jessica. And Trish, you know, rightfully so, is a little hesitant when he comes knocking on the door with a box and is like, hey, let me in. I got something for you. Like, I probably wouldn't either. That's no, thank you. Turns out the thing that he has for her is a gun. And so now she has a gun. And the moment where he like comes back to the door, and then the camera does that thing where it like goes through the door and we get to see what Trish is doing on the other side. And she's just pointing the gun at the door, but she's like smirking. It was kind of a weird moment because we're seeing Trish like take this turn of I don't know, like, you know, we've kind of learned that she wanted to help Jessica early on when Jessica, like, first gets her powers. She wanted to help her kind of, yeah, you should be a hero, like, and now we're seeing Trish kind of take, like, what could lead her down. Like, I'm going into this pretending as if, like, we don't actually know what happens in the next couple episodes, but
I don't.
Seeing that she's, like, she could be taking a turn here, right? Like, this is, like, Joker territory. Like, she could very easily flip to a villain at any point in the near future.
She is showing some poor decision-making skills since, like, they did have a pretty lengthy conversation, but she does let the dude who tried to kill her into her house. Like, okay, I get it. I get he didn't really want to kill her. He was controlled by Kilgrave. I get that he's got that square jaw thing happening, but still, you don't just get over being almost murdered by somebody within just a few hours. Like, this is poor behavior, Trish.
Yeah,
poor behavior. Make him take you out to dinner first.
But he's handsome, and he gave her a gun, so he's totally trustworthy.
She's only human.
Yeah.
She's only
human. You know what this is kind of reminding me of? It's kind of like the people in Blade, right? That are basically marked by, like, vampires. It's kind of like,
yes,
the same concept in a way. Like, Kilgrave's marking all these people. And when you think about it, like, man, that's really horrific. Like, if he's making you do these crazy things and you can still remember them, like, that's pretty terrifying. And it's just building this really interesting, like, kind of world within Jessica Jones of, like, who's been marked and, like, what do they remember doing and how does that impact the rest of their lives, right? Because he's got to be in fear of, like, this guy's always going to have control over me. Like, if I screw up, like, what's he going to make me do?
Right. And it's interesting to see because, okay, so Kilgrave, if he comes along and we have to assume, right, that, like, Kilgrave didn't just do this to a handful of people to climb this social ladder and, like, have all this power that he has. He's done this to hundreds and hundreds of people, probably, I would assume. So it's wild that he's made it this far without this ever coming to light anywhere, especially since we're seeing now that, yeah, you feel violated that he made you do something that you didn't want to do, but you remember that he made you do stuff that you didn't want to do. So it's interesting that really, like, Jessica and now this cop are kind of, like, the only people that are, like, hey, I remember, yeah, he did make me do that, and we want to stop him. And I don't know if it's just a fear thing, like, maybe, you know, we don't know how his power works, so I assume anyone who is controlled by him doesn't know how his power works. Like, could he just take you over again in the snap of a finger, even if you remember? So maybe it's, like, a fear thing that's keeping people from trying to stop him or trying to take him out. But other than this power of suggestion, if you will, he doesn't have any other powers.
Yeah.
So, he's awfully skinny.
He is awfully skinny, so nothing's stopping people from stopping him, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, you get the group of survivors, and it's like, what's, you know, why aren't they banding together to try to go and take him down or something, right?
Right. Instead, they just kind of talk about it, and you're like,
yeah.
Well,
put that energy to, like,
do anything, something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did want to talk more about the situation where we, you know, get the mention of the Avengers. Essentially, we kind of are led to believe that, you know, with anybody potentially being taken over by Kilgrave, Jessica is sent on a normal job call, I guess you would, I don't know what you would call her, normal work as a private eye, but
yeah,
she follows a guy who may be cheating on his wife. The wife calls and is like, hey, did you follow him? She's kind of like, that's weird. And she looks inside and sees all the papers from the lawyer that, or the lady who is on the phone with her. And when she breaks in, sure enough, it was a setup. It's a trap. And we learn that Jessica's not bulletproof. The lady pulls a gun on her and shoots her in the shoulder and basically starts complaining about how superpowered people are the reason that her mother died, and so she's gonna kill Jessica to get revenge for
revenge.
Her mother. Yeah. Obviously doesn't work. Jessica, you know, hulks out and like throws the gun through the wall at some point, which I thought was just like a funny way for her to get rid of the gun. And then just like destroys the apartment piece by piece. And you kind of, she says that she has 99 friends. That's the name of the, mm-hmm. the episode. She has 99 superpowered friends that she knows about in the neighborhood. We know that she kind of, she doesn't lie, right? But she stretches the truth mm-hmm. about her abilities and stuff. So I'm assuming that she's stretching the truth about knowing 99 superpowered individuals. But also, she's a private eye. So do we think that
really
maybe
know.
She does know some other people with powers?
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, she surely is through her work. And especially because, like, most of what she does is in the middle of the night when crime usually happens, and that's mm-hmm. when you would see people that are new to the superhero game or have been around or probably out there doing stuff. So, like, is it 99? I wouldn't think so, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's, like, a handful, a little bit more.
Because yeah. right now we know that she knows Luke Cage mm-hmm. and Kilgrave. And then the Avengers. I mean, she doesn't know the Avengers, but the yeah. world knows of them. So.
Right. And two of them don't have powers.
True.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, how do you, you know, would you be aware of Daredevil at this point?
Right.
Or even Punisher.
Right. And we have to, audience, if this is your first episode listening, you may not know. The rest of you probably do know. But we didn't start this series in chronological order. We started the Netflix series with Jessica Jones saving Daredevil for a little bit closer to the release of the new Daredevil series. So in chronological order of this series, Daredevil's first. Daredevil is a presence that is known in Hell's Kitchen by the end of the first season of Daredevil. So I would assume that Jessica has at least heard of
yeah.
the Daredevil of, or the Devil of Hell's Kitchen, I guess is what they call him. So maybe, I don't know that they've ever met, but
wasn't Jessica Jones released first on Netflix?
No, Daredevil.
No,
the first
Daredevil.
Season of Daredevil was first.
Hang on.
And then Jessica Jones, and then Luke Cage. And then, actually, I think Daredevil.
I can't remember
2.
How much they were spaced apart, though.
I think so, it was, they were pretty close.
Daredevil
together.
Was 2015.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
15, season one. And then, yeah, they were the same year, but Jessica Jones was in November. Okay. And Daredevil was in April, so.
Okay.
And then I think Luke Cage and then Daredevil season two. And then Iron Fist, and then Defenders, and then Daredevil 3, and then Punisher.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Tetra
Freeze. Man, even Netflix, sorry, like we're going on this little tangent. They were pumping these out pretty quick. Like, yeah. We were getting new content like year after year, like, which is awesome. So it's like, what happened? I get like Disney Plus is trying to bring back the quality on things and they're trying to scale back, but I found the bulk of these shows to be quality.
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting these out in a pretty timely manner. So come on, y'all got to let's work together.
Lost Elisa. Yeah, they not only were pumping them out, but they had like serious money behind them. I mean, they had.
Yeah.
Relatively large names, and as the series went on, like bigger and bigger names joined, and then they also it wasn't cheap. I mean, it was like full like sets, full effects. I mean, I think we're not there yet, but I think about the fight scene at the end of the first season of Luke Cage. That's a crazy fight scene. And there was so much money behind that show. And it's amazing to me that they just kind of petered out. And
so now you just hyped me up to go finish Luke Cage. Cause like I started season one, but never finished it. So I didn't get to see that fight scene.
Yeah. We'll definitely have to talk about it,
but yeah,
I just, it's crazy to me that, and I guess I understand, right? Like they got to a point where then Disney was probably like, hey, we're going to start our own streaming and we're going to instead spend all of our time and money on our own streaming platform series. I'm glad that now we're getting this new Daredevil series and it seems like they're kind of pulling along the Netflix crew to be like, hey, let's kind of maybe continue this world. That's what I'm excited to see, like how much of it is kept as canon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, yeah, they did so much and it wasn't bad. I mean, sure, some of the seasons were better than others. Iron Fist wasn't like blow your mind incredible, but it was watchable. It was fine. I think Defenders could have been cooler if they had, you know, maybe spread it into two seasons instead of one, but
yeah.
There are some wow gotcha moments in that. So yeah, I guess, you know, we'll have to see what they do with this new Daredevil series and if maybe that's going to spin off into a new set of Defenders or Heroes for Hire or
yeah.
I mean, I know we're getting another Shang-Chi movie, but Shang-Chi shows up in Heroes for Hire, so like maybe they could, this is how they could like cross some of that stuff over into the series and the movies.
Yeah. I would like kind of say 99 Friends was more or less a building block episode. Nothing too exciting in this one, but it still kind of builds out like more of the story of like giving you context of like where this is actually taking place, the effect that it's had on people. So makes me wonder, especially with how many episodes they've said Daredevil Born Again is going to have, like we still don't really know. Are they going to be like 30 minute episodes? Are they going to be hour long episodes? How many of those are going to be like building block episodes like this versus very critical ones?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they can't do... I don't know. Because I guess it depends how much they want to pull over from this. If they pull over a lot, I feel like they don't have to build as many building block episodes, and maybe they could focus a little more on story arc stuff as opposed to like the history.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like they're not going to, they don't even want to like fully commit to tying the Disney Plus series to the feature films currently because they don't want to make people feel like they have to watch both. So I feel like there's no way they're going to expect people to go back and watch the Netflix series.
Yeah, I can't really say anything. Although now it's all in Disney Plus, though. I can't really say anything on that because someone hasn't watched a certain.
Yeah, something. Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm so behind the times here. I don't know. I really like these. I hope that they continue these in some form.
Yeah.
To kind of get back on the topic of this episode that we kind of strayed away from, the big twist at the end of this episode is that thanks to this new cop that has joined the crew, they're able to get a photo, I believe, that shows Malcolm talking with Kilgrave. So that's where we get this sort of like, okay, now Malcolm is a spy for Kilgrave or works for Kilgrave or Kilgrave works for him or they're somehow connected. And it makes you wonder if the, you know, we see Malcolm as sort of like a drug addict. He's always trying to like break in to steal stuff or get his next fix, but then it kind of makes you see it in a different light. Like, is he actually using drugs or is this some sort of like long-term side effect from being controlled by Kilgrave for too long? How long has he been working for Kilgrave? Is he the one taking the pictures for Kilgrave?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I was looking at a thread and that's kind of what people are wondering as well. Like if he's, his use of drugs is similar to like Jessica with drinking because they've both been, apparently in the comics, he was just like a big nerd. That was kind of like his story. So, but yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. Like if you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah. So hopefully, because mostly I just can't even remember, but I hope that they explain more about the limitations of Kilgrave's powers and how long they last, how close he has to be. You know, can he say, hey, you're going to drive from New York to California? And then does he have to stay within a certain radius of you for you to stay under his command, or like once you get out of the state, are you good? And you're like, I'm not gonna drive all the way to California. So I hope that some of that stuff gets explained a little bit more, or at least touched on in some form. I know in the comics it's a little bit different. I think they mention it in this, but in the comics, like his power is 100% tied to his pheromones. So his power of suggestion isn't necessarily like him telling you to do something. So like he couldn't suggest something to you over the phone. He had to be like there with you physically. And there are like moments in the comics where people just plug their nose and they're good. So I don't think that that's, I think in the show they lean a little bit more into the like, it's like a pheromone, but he can also just kind of suggest things to you and you'll do them. So
yeah. Yeah.
I guess we'll find out soon, hopefully. Well, any final thoughts on this episode?
This episode had both the moment that I have most liked Jessica's boss so far and least liked Jessica's boss so far. I mean, overall, still very, very negative on her. Isn't her name Hogarth?
Yes.
Horrible name. Anyways, the part where I thought, okay, that's actually funny, was whenever the assistant walks in and she says, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you over that print. Which is really mean, but it did make me laugh. But then later when she takes her current girlfriend to the restaurant where she proposed to her wife, I was like, was she a man in the comic? Why is she so terrible to women? It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Hogarth is...
She's mean. She's a bad girlfriend and a bad wife.
She and Foggy, I feel like, are the big crossover characters in this Netflix series arc. I'm pretty sure Hogarth's in every single one. And I just remember feeling the same way. Like, at first you kind of like her because she's like kind of quick and witty and she's mean, but she's like Devil Wears Prada mean. So it's like, yeah. it's like, oh, that's funny. Like, okay, she's, you know, she's the boss. And then every now and then she does things like with her like weird side love story that like it's played out for some reason. Like, why is that a part of the show? I have no idea. But the whole time you're just like, wow, you're kind of an awful person.
Yeah.
And everyone in these shows like works with you or works for you, but you're kind of terrible.
Yeah, she's super manipulative. Which, yeah. Poor Carrie Ann Moss. She just...
Can't catch a break.
Yeah, she gets put in movies as either that kind of ice queen or someone who is kind of like mean and uppity. Like, did y'all ever watch Chocolat where she was the mean uppity mom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love that movie. Wonderful movie. She's the mean girl in it.
Well, hopefully we'll get a nicer side of her at some point. And hopefully she comes back in the MCU. That'd be great. Because I think Foggy was, before we got, Matt Murdock showing up to save Spider-Man, Foggy, I think, was the only character that appeared in one of the movies, if I remember correctly. And I don't remember which movie, but it's one of the early ones.
Which one is Foggy?
The guy from Mighty Ducks. Matt Murdock's associate in Daredevil.
Okay.
I don't think he's shown up in Jessica Jones.
Okay, I was about to say, I don't remember a Foggy.
I can't remember if he does. Like, I looked it up. So, he's in 38 episodes of Daredevil, one episode of Jessica Jones, one episode of Luke Cage, five episodes of Defenders, and he's mentioned in The Punisher. Okay. But I don't believe he was in any of the movies.
He's not in any of the movies?
Unless it was like a unaccredited type thing.
Now I feel like I have to spend the like 120 hours that's going to take to watch all the movies again. I feel like I remember seeing him in a movie and being like, the crossover is happening. And then it never went anywhere. And I was like, oh, he just happened to be there.
Yeah, I don't think he was in any of the movies, but maybe. Yeah, I don't think he was. But he should be. I mean, that's what I'm so irritated by is like, they're not even bringing anyone back for like the new series other than like the heroes.
I thought I saw they were bringing back, Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the last I saw, it was down to the guy who plays Luke Cage and Danny Rand, where they were like, I don't know that they knew what they want to do with Iron Fist, if they want to make that a part of this new stuff, but I know that they were trying to get Luke Cage going again in some form. So I don't know that, like, I don't know. Did it say if we're getting another season of Jessica Jones or like a new Jessica Jones series or just that she was coming back?
I think that she'll just appear in Daredevil.
Yeah, I think so that's what I saw.
I could see Daredevil turning into a Defenders. Like, we're getting a new setup for Defenders or Heroes for Hire, but we're not going to get a new series for all those.
They could go Heroes for Hire route, but it just seems like, from what we know, it's going to be still more of a lawyer type show. So I could definitely see him utilizing Jessica Jones as being like a PI for something. Like, he just doesn't have the time. So, but he's like, I know someone.
Right.
That will help. And, but hopefully we'll get like cool fight scenes. Like, hopefully it'll kind of, you know.
I am hoping that Daredevil is going to have like, it's going to have those like, remember those first two episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Mm-hmm.
They were like nonstop action movie, but like, you know, full budget Marvel mm-hmm. film.
Oh, yeah.
I want that energy mixed with She-Hulk energy. If they can somehow combine those two, I think that we're going to have a really good season of Daredevil, especially if we get She-Hulk
back. Yes, bring back She-Hulk.
Maybe not the weird meta episode, but
yeah.
Hey, I liked the weird meta episode. If they made Daredevil weird and meta, I'd be for it.
I enjoyed it, but I don't know that I want to see the Kevin robot popping out behind Daredevil in court.
Maybe they just put the Kevin bot in the background of all the remaining shows and movies. It's just there. They don't acknowledge it, but it's keeping watch.
I would love if that's like the new thing, was at the end of every movie, instead of an end credit scene, we just get like some creepy scene of the Kevin bot like plotting some ultimate thing, and then in 20 movies we find out that he's actually like Galactus or something, and it's, we've been tricked
the real MODOK.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Miss Time, like let's keep you up with the multiverse and explain what's going on.
The last thing that we see of him is him like designing the code for Miss Minutes.
Yeah.
Well, that is episode 4 of Jessica Jones. Be sure to join us next time for episode 5, when we're going to get to dive a little bit more into the story, and also we get a heist. So prepare yourselves for the heist of episode 5. And what's our question this week?
See, now I'm stuck on heist, because now I want a Scott Lang miniseries going on, the ultimate heist.
How about if you could heist one item from the Marvel Universe, what would that item be, and who would be in your heist team?
I like it.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Yeah. So I think we're going to start something new, and I think the next episode we're going to start giving our answers at the beginning of the episode, so you guys know what we would choose. So look out for our answers next week, and we'll see you all then.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.